Thanks so much for joining me today. A topic that's been on my mind since we last chatted yesterday is the topic of worship. The events of recent days have made me more aware of my inward conversation with the Lord. How about you? What are the kinds of conversations you are having right now with our Lord and Savior? As you know, worship is a significant theme of the Bible. In fact, every book of the Bible touches upon this subject, whether positive or negative. But of all the books in the Bible, the Psalm stands head above the rest for guiding our attention, affections, and actions for rightly worshiping our Creator and Savior. Now, how do you pick one psalm out of the 150? That is no easy task. We have Psalm 1:1, which starts off, "How blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." What about the comforting psalm, Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We could go to the last Psalm 150, where the psalmist uses the phrase praise 13 times. But for today, I've chosen Psalm 84. So go ahead and get your Bible, whether it's print or digital, and let's turn together to Psalm 84. Now, this is not a psalm of David, but from the sons of Korah, who were alive at the time of David. Now, the psalm was set to music, and I don't know about you, but I wish I could have heard what this psalm would have sounded like set to music. The inscription of Psalm 84, "To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah." Now, you might remember Korah. He was part of the priestly family and was related to Moses and Aaron. Now, the rebellion that Korah led against Moses and Aaron ended with the death of many members of the Korahite family. But there were those who did not participate. They survived, and these are their descendants. Now, the Korahites were known as temple singers. David put them in charge of the musical service in the house of the Lord. They also acted as gatekeepers and even bakers of sacrificial cakes. And in 2 Chronicles 20:19, they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Very intense idea there. You might recognize the sons of Korah from another psalm, Psalm 42:1, "As the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." This psalm primarily focuses on the temple, where God is present. Of course, for us New Testament believers, God is present in us, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, this first part talks about anticipation. Now, you got to put yourself in the shoes of this Israelite worshiper. They are on a pilgrimage to go to the temple to be in the presence of the Lord. Verse 1, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." And that Lord of hosts means, O Lord Almighty, all-powerful. "My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Now, this beautiful picture is showing you how the whole being of the worshiper desires, longs, literally means is hungry, or another way of putting it, torn apart by the longing. And this idea of fainting is describing the journey that they're on, because they're going to pass through some arid places on their way to Jerusalem. And I love how this is in parallel. My heart and my flesh, in parallel to my soul, cry out for the living God. This is passion. This is worship. And this is about relationship, being in the presence of the living God. And for the Israelite worshiper, that literally was true. God was present in the temple, and they were on their way to experience this. And then we come to verse 3, and we have this amazing picture. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Now, the Selah there is to let you know that this first section has ended. But do you see the picture? Here's this Israelite worshiper meditating on the temple. And they picture this little nest of this defenseless bird resting on the temple. And how awesome it is for that bird. And I want you to see the parallel, because in many ways, aren't we not like sparrows? The Lord mentioned the sparrows and how we're more precious than them. But the sparrow is defenseless, just like in many ways we are too. And one day we will be literally in the presence of the Lord. And that is going to be an awesome day. But it's such a great picture. The sparrow has found the home, a nest for herself. Now, there's more pictures here. I love the way the psalmist describes God, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. There's an intimate relationship that exists between the worshiper and God. Now, this probably brings to mind John 14:2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said to the disciples. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And then Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is a great truth and great promise. You know, the priests had multiple roles in servicing the temple. For some, they guarded the temple treasure. Others guarded against those who might defile the temple. But notice the emphasis here is not on those things, but it's the emphasis on the presence, the relationship between the worshiper and God. Now, we have a greater truth today. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brother and sister, this is a truth we need to remind ourselves every day when we pray, when we talk to God, when we get on our knees, when we walk through life, that we can go before the throne of grace, not boldly in a prideful way, but boldly in a confident way, because we are covered with the blood of the Lamb. Now we come to the next section. I titled this The Adventure. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Now, this valley of Baca, we don't know where that is physically, geographically, but we do know it means valley of weeping. Baca, also in the Hebrew, can refer to a type of tree, particularly the balsam tree, which produces this resinous gum that looks like tears on the tree. Now, this valley was apparently waterless, which makes sense in the desert area. And then at a certain time of the year, most likely when they're making the pilgrimage, rain would come and cover this arid valley with pools of water, a beautiful picture of God's blessings on their pilgrimage. Now, we too are on a pilgrimage, not to the temple on earth, but to the temple in heaven, to the very presence of God. Peter instructs us on how to be a pilgrim and a sojourner in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So this middle part of the psalm is focusing on the journey to the temple. May we see our journey as an adventure, as an anticipation to greater things that lie ahead. Now let's come to verse 9, the third part and last part of the psalm. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in you. There is amazing images here. The sun and shield, which pictures God's provision and protection. Grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. This psalm is amazing because look at all the different names that it's mentioned. God is Yahweh, God of Israel, our God. God is the Yahweh or Lord of hosts, the God of armies, the one who is forceful and powerful and all powerful. God is the living God, the one who's involved and active in the world. God is my king, your king, the one who protects and rules. God is my God who's involved with you and me in the personal details of our life. And God is God. There is no other. And in this incredible picture of God as a sun and shield, exposing, protecting, providing. What's amazing about this psalm and its help in worship is it starts off with God as the object of our worship. And then it shows the pilgrim worshiping, praying, longing. And then the worshiper arrives in the presence of God. And when the worshiper is in the presence of God, that person doesn't want to be anywhere else. So how are you worshiping? It's easy in our pilgrimage to sometimes neglect our time alone with the Lord. In our pilgrimage, it's sometimes difficult to focus on Him and not our circumstances. It's hard in our pilgrimage to still ourselves, to listen, and to calm ourselves down. May this psalm guide you in that worship. So in closing, just a few other thoughts. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And 2 Corinthians 1:3 is a great truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Worship is the door by which we pray and receive God's comfort. As you bring before the Lord in worship the challenges you're facing, consider this, what one writer said, a single event can awaken with us a stranger totally unknown to us. And I like what this author is getting at. We don't know what is going to unfold each and every day. In many ways, when this new event happens, we see a side of ourselves that we've never seen before. That's the stranger that is totally unknown to us. But when that happens, that's the moment we pause, we pray, we worship, and then from our worship, from our prayer, we proceed to walk in faith according to his word as living sacrifices. You know, Jesus Christ became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. And God sent his spirit to dwell in us. So we have him in us, helping us, comforting us, and we have each other. May you take the time to worship and to be still before the Lord listening, meditating, and praying to the God of all comfort. Until tomorrow, rest in God's word and his promises.